Bolivian President Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozada resigned last night after days of violent protests in the capital, La Paz. At the heart of the crisis is a proposal to export natural gas from Bolivia through a pipeline to a port in Chile. Now, Bolivia is landlocked. Joining us now from La Paz is NPR's Martin Casti. Martin, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
This, from the outside, would seem an odd issue to lead to the ouster of the chief of state. Bolivia is an awfully poor country. You would think the sale of natural gas would only help.
Yeah, well, on paper, the deal wasn't closed yet, but on paper it looked to generate a lot of income for a very, very cash-strapped economy and government. The Bolivian law would require an 18% royalty from the foreign companies pumping this gas, plus there would be thousands of jobs created by just the infrastructure they'd have to create to pipe this to the coast. Mm-hmm. This economy is so strapped for cash that it depends on basically foreign handouts just to close the books every year. Up to 5% of government revenue depends on just donations. Mm-hmm. So on paper, this was a great deal, and they have more gas than they could ever use here. They've projected they have something like 600 years' worth if they just used it themselves. So, but the problem with this whole gas exportation proposal became very symbolic very fast. Most people here agree that it's much a deeper issue. This is a five-century-old fight. Bolivians, especially Bolivians of Indian descent, who are the majority here, have very bad cultural memories of the Spaniards and the great Potosi silver mines 5 centuries ago, and working Indian slaves to death to extract silver for basically no benefit to the locals. Mm-hmm. And then they went through the tin mining cycle. And there's a sense here, especially among the very poor, that whenever foreigners come in to extract a natural resource, nothing really stays for locals. And so really the gas thing became a rallying point for what really amounts to a centuries-old complaint about low living standards for the Indian majority, and local political organizers used that very effectively.
President Sanchez de Lozada sent a pretty blistering letter of resignation to Congress, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I've heard a few resignations in my 4 years in South America by presidents. This is unfortunately, but this is easily the most resentful and angry. He's definitely did it under protest, and he called it in no uncertain terms an ominous precedent for Bolivian democracy and democracy on the continent. He maintains, as do his supporters, that basically it was extortion. He was forced out of power by groups, mainly leftist groups and Indian groups, who placed the capital under siege by sabotaging highways and threatening those who crossed their blockades. And that's no way to settle a difference of policy. So from that point of view, you could see why he would be angry.
How do you have any feeling, Martin, for how this could affect the United States' anti-cocaine programs in Bolivia?
Well, Bolivia in the past has been the world's biggest producer of coca leaf for cocaine, off and on. The U.S. claimed victory in the last few years in this eradication program. Those numbers were cut dramatically with eradication programs. The coca leaf production is shooting up again, something like 24% increase in 1 year recently. I think that was for 2002. And there's a very important political figure here called Evo Morales, who's a leader of the coca leaf growers. He almost was elected president last year. Sanchez Lozada beat him, but narrowly. And he's very much involved in these protests. And there's a sense that if he becomes part of this next government or whatever follows it, that whole eradication program could be doomed, and the relations with the United States would sour considerably.
NPR's Martin Casti in La Paz, Bolivia. Thanks very much.
Thank you.